I tell you what, Lord gave some talent in my family. I just went over that way. Praise the Lord. I appreciate it. I tell you, Caitlin, she played that harp for us just a while back, and I tell you, she's getting better and better and better every day. And I know they've been working on that for a while. I believe the Lord blessed that. That was a blessing to me. So praise the Lord for it. And I tell you what. Now, I'll say this. I'm not much, and I'm not criticizing, I'm not much for applauding in church, but when a child, now, my sister, I ain't worried, but when a child will come up, when a child will come and stand up for the Lord and do something like that, I believe that's worthy of applause. So praise the Lord for it. And that, like I said, that was a blessing to me. If you got your Bible there with you, turn on that mic there. If you got your Bible there with you, go ahead and open up with me. I've got to get my notes here. We're going to be in Romans chapter 5 this morning. Romans chapter 5, probably not a very common place to start a Christmas season message, but we are going to look at here something that is related to this Christmas holiday. And the truth of the matter is that, as Brother Bill mentioned just a moment ago, the true reason for this season is the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is a time where God's people tend to come together, and we tend to focus on the fact that God came to dwell with man, that the Lord became incarnate and came and robed Himself in flesh and dwelt among us. Amen? But I will say this. I believe if we're all being honest with ourselves, there is something within every one of us that likes those gifts. Amen? Can I get an amen this morning? I mean, you don't sit there and say, no, don't, I don't like that, I don't want that. When you get something you like real good, you enjoy it, don't you? And as I told you just a moment ago, the Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive. It's a blessing. I think all you grandparents and parents can say amen. It's a blessing to see your children get excited and be able to give something to them that they wouldn't normally get. Amen? But the truth of the matter is that even though we buy these gifts, I believe oftentimes we have a hard time picking the right kind of gift. And so that being the case, I want to give you a little advice this morning. Now, I'm going to preach a Bible message, but I'm going to help you as you try to find the right kind of gift this Christmas season. We only got 1 week till Christmas, and so I'm going to try to help you out the best I can here from the Word of God this week. So if you got your Bible there with you, Romans chapter 5, and I'll begin reading down in verse number 12 if you'll look there with me. And the Bible says in verse number 12, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank You, Lord, for a chance to preach from this eternal Word of God this morning. Lord, I'm thankful that even in the midst of this world, as dark as things are getting, Lord, we turn on the news and we get on the internet and we read the newspaper, and Lord, it's always negative. It's always so much sin and so much wickedness going on in this world. Lord, I'm so thankful we can just set aside a little time here on a Sunday morning, Lord, just to be able to think on something holy, just to think on something good and righteous and pure. And Lord, I pray now this morning that You'll guide and direct, Lord, guide my thoughts and guide my tongue, that I might only say things that would be pleasing in Thy sight. And Lord, I ask most importantly that if there be one person lost in our midst, the Lord, You would make the gospel plain to them. Lord, make the truth plain to them this morning. And I pray You might draw them to Jesus Christ so they get saved just this very day. Lord, bless us now. Draw us into Your presence, and may we honor and glorify Jesus Christ in all that we do. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it, and for His sake, amen and amen. Now, I told you here just a moment ago that we're going to talk about giving gifts this morning. Amen? Now, like I said, I'm not trying to focus on the materialism. I'm not trying to focus on what many have sought to turn Christmas into. But the truth is that probably every person in here is going to either give a gift or receive a gift here within the next week or so. And so it's important that we get the right kind of gift. And I think, you know, as I look out through this crowd this morning, most every one of you, you've probably had some good things given to you over the years that you still remember to this day. Is that right? Are we all with it this morning? I can still think of some gifts that I got on Christmas morning as a child that have stuck with me. I don't remember a lot of things, but I remember those gifts because of how good they were. But by that very same standard, can I just be honest with you? I've gotten some pretty awful gifts before too. Now I understand we're spoiled in this country, and we're spoiled because, I mean, in what other nation on earth could you be, not be happy that you got any kind of a gift? But I still remember as a child, I was pretty spoiled. I was a little brat, and I would get upset sometimes if I didn't get exactly what I wanted. Y'all still with me this morning? We all right? And I remember we had this tradition at our house that for several years there, what we would do is we'd get a gift on the night before Christmas. You got to open something. And it usually was, you know, pajamas or socks or something like that. It wasn't anything, you know, completely out of the ordinary. It wasn't the big gift, but it was still a good gift, something you could use normally. Well, I remember this one year, they handed me that box, Mom and Daddy did. And I held that thing and it was heavy. I mean, I thought, this is something special. This ain't pajamas, man. This is something good right here. And I felt that thing. I kind of shook it a little bit. You know, I went through the ritual of opening the gift. And I started to tear that paper, and there was a plain cardboard box underneath, so I couldn't even tell what it was yet. And so I went from that thing there, and I got to peeling open that cardboard box, got to looking in it, and there sitting inside that box was a brand new Christmas bowl. I was not a happy 7 or 8 year old. Or I might have been 18, I don't know. But either way, I wasn't real happy when I saw that bowl. I still remember, I threw a fit of all fits. I'm sure my dad can still tell you all about it. I screamed and I cried and I got upset and got angry, and it has stuck with me to this very day. I don't even like bowls today because of that. No, I'm kidding on that front. But when I got that bowl, it stuck with me. I thought, I'm 8 years old. I don't want a bowl for Christmas. And so I'm trying to help y'all, so you don't buy anybody a bowl this year. I'm going to help you, Lord willing, to pick the right kind of gift. That's my message this morning. I want to preach to you on the subject of how to pick the right kind of gift. Now we see here in the passage that we've just read several instances where the Lord speaks of a gift. If you look there with me in verse, turn back here a page, in verse number 15, he says, "But not as the offense, so also is the what? The free gift." If you look down in verse 16, he says, "And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift." Read on in that verse. He says, "For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification." Now I believe this morning, looking at our text and looking here at the Word of God, I believe that each and every person sitting here ought to leave here this morning knowing how to pick the right gift. All right? We're going to learn how to pick that right gift. Now, first and foremost, if you're going to pick the right kind of gift this Christmas season, you must pick something that has great value. By the way, any good gift that you can get, it's got to be something of great value. And by the way, I'm not simply talking about monetary value either. Although I will say this, at my job, you know what I see? Most of y'all know I sell jewelry. I sell the diamonds and pearls and gold and stuff throughout the week. And so I see a lot of people that they've got a lot of money to put into something of great value. And oftentimes what I'll find at ladies, this goes more to you than it does the men, but I'll see these ladies come up there to that counter and they'll look down in that glass and they'll get to looking at all those pretty diamond rings and all those pearls and rubies and emeralds and beautiful gold and silver pieces, and they'll get to looking at those things, and it never fails, they'll pick the thing that costs the very most. We might have a piece in that case that costs $100 and another piece over here that costs $10,000. Ladies, every single time you'll pick the $10,000 piece. And oftentimes when that happens, a lady will look there at me and she'll say, "Well, I've just got good taste," or, "I sure know how to pick them." But the truth of the matter is, you all know how to pick them. Every last one of you got that problem, amen? And what I found, though, is that people tend to gravitate toward that which is of the greatest value, amen? Now, can I make one thing very clear to you this morning? I have gotten some things for Christmas in my life that were of great value. I can look back at some guitars that my dad got me and some gifts that my grandparents got me and some things maybe my uncle got me that, I tell you, they were far more expensive than anything I could even afford today. And I got those things just as a child. I mean, that was of great value, amen? But can I be real honest with you? The things that are of the greatest value when it comes to this Christmas season, they're things that don't necessarily have monetary value. They're things that have sentimental value. See, I got to thinking there about this week as I was studying for this message on what are some things that I own that I've valued for a very long time. And one thing that came to my mind is there's a Bible that I have sitting in my study at home with wood covers on it. Got a leather binding and wood covers. And right there on the back is etched into it, into that wood, it says Jerusalem. Now that don't mean much to you. But what that thing is, my papaw, years ago when he was in better health, he used to go about every year and he'd go on a trip over to the Holy Land, over there to Israel. And he'd always bring us back something. But I still remember as a child, he brought back that King James Bible from Jerusalem to me. I think it was Purdy. And he gave that thing to me as a gift. And I don't know, that thing might have cost $15 for all I know. But over the years, because of the person who gave it to me, and because of what it has meant to me from that day forth, that item is of great value to this preacher. Now, I believe, like I said, every last one of you in this room, you probably can think of something that you've received over the years that it may not have been the most expensive. It might not have cost a whole lot of money, but it means something to you because it has great value attached to it. But you know, I got to reading here in the Word of God this week, and it occurred to me that the greatest gift that a man has ever received is the one of the greatest value. I'm talking about Jesus Christ this morning. You see, when the Bible said right here that God has given us a free gift, when it said that it was by one who sinned, but it was another who brought us the gift, I want to say this morning that the gift we're reading about there in Romans chapter 5 is the greatest gift that any man, any woman, or any child has ever received. It is the gift of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. I got to thinking here that, you know, I don't know if this ever took place, but I kind of imagine it in my mind's eye, the Lord way back in eternity past, long before the world was formed, long before man was ever created. The Bible said that Jesus is the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. So I imagine God way back there, past Genesis chapter 2 and past Genesis chapter 1. I imagine God off there in eternity. And He knows that He's going to create man. He knows that man will fall there in the Garden of Eden. He knew that you would be born and that I would be born and that we would sin and be in need of a Savior. And so I picture God off there in eternity past as He starts to look forward at what could possibly redeem a sinner just as wicked as Morgan Lester. Hey, what could possibly redeem a sinner just as wicked as Gary Wolfenbarger? What could possibly redeem a sinner just as wicked as ungodly as Denver Teague? What could possibly redeem sinners like you and me? I imagine God got to looking out there across the plain of history. You see, our God, He's not bound by time. Amen. And I imagine that He might look out there and look at the animals. And He said, well, maybe, just maybe, there's a sheep out there or a goat or a bull or some kind of animal that could be offered up for the sins of mankind that would take away all their sin. And yet the Bible still says, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. And so He had to turn His attention elsewhere. I imagine God got to looking across at all the men and all the women that would be born into this world throughout history. Perhaps He looked at the emperors and He looked at the kings. Perhaps He looked at the philosophers and the educators. Hey friend, He might have looked at some of the great preachers and the religious leaders of our world. Hey friend, He probably even looked at men like David and men like Abraham and men like the Apostle Paul. And He says, says, is there one that could take away the sins of mankind? Is there one that could possibly redeem them from the curse of that fall? And yet not a one could do it. They all had sinned and come short of the glory of God. I thought, well, maybe the Lord looked at the angels and he said, well, is there an angel out there? Maybe Gabriel, maybe Michael could do the job, but no angel could save mankind. Perhaps he looked at the cherubim and the seraphim and all their beauty and all of their splendor. And he said, well, maybe, just maybe, I could send one of them. But when it all came right down to it, friend, there was only one that could redeem a sinner like me. There's only one that could save the soul of any man or any woman or any child. And that's none other than Jesus Christ himself. God manifest in the flesh. The eternal Son of God died in my place. He lives forevermore that we might be saved and have everlasting life. The Bible said, even so we, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. I'm telling you this morning, friend, there is no gift like the gift of salvation. There is no gift like the Lord Jesus Christ. He's of the greatest value. There's no mountain. There's no property. There's no building in this world that's as valuable as the Lord Jesus. Hey, there's no millionaire and billionaire. You lump all the money in the world together, and it could not equal the value of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when God saw the great price that had to be paid for your sin and for my sin, he gave what was most valuable to him. He laid down the life of his Son so that we might be saved. I'm telling you this morning, friend, you're going to get a good gift this year. Can I tell you what to get? You get Jesus. He's of great value. Now, I want to say, if you're going to pick a great gift, not only does it need to be of great value, but it needs to meet a great need. You see, the greatest gifts that you've ever gotten and that I've ever gotten have been things that met a need that you didn't even know you had. And oftentimes we look over those gifts, don't we? But they're always the ones that stand the test of time. I think back to some things I got over the years, some toys I got as a child, that I don't know where they are today. Couldn't tell you one thing about them. But I remember years ago, I think it might have been my grandparents, got me a shoe shining kit. Now, y'all know what I'm talking about? And I was probably 17, 18 years old. I didn't even know what shining shoes was. But they got me a shoe shining kit. And I remember when I got that thing, when I got it, I took it and I set it aside because I was far more interested in all the other gifts. But can I tell you something? A lot of those other gifts, they're gone now. But you know what I've still got to this day? I've still got that shoe shining kit. I still use it to this, although I probably need to use it right now. I still use it to this very day. You say, why? Well, when I got it, I didn't see the need all that much. But it met a great need in my life. When you're preaching and you're wearing dress shoes all the time, can I tell you, having something to shine your shoes is a good idea. And I'm telling you this morning that if you're picking a gift for somebody, if you're expecting a gift for yourself, isn't it the greatest gifts are the ones that meet a great need in your life? Well, you know, I believe the gift that God gave us in His Son, I believe not only is it of great value, but I believe it met the greatest need any man ever had, any woman ever had. Hey, can I say to you this morning, it met the greatest need this preacher in this pulpit ever had. I was lost and without hope and without God in the world. But as God sent His Son, He died for Morgan Lester. He was in the tomb for 3 days and for 3 nights for Morgan Lester. And He rose again the third day that I might be saved and that you might be saved. He met the greatest need we've ever had. I got to reading on that, studying on it this week. And I got to thinking there in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, I won't have you to turn there, but that chapter describes for us exactly what a lost man is. Now, we use words like lost. We use words like sinner. We use words unsaved to describe lost people. But the Bible uses much more colorful language to describe what a lost man is, to describe what I was when the Lord found me. You say, well, what is it? Well, over in Ephesians 2, it said, first of all, if you're sitting in here and you're lost this morning, you're a child of wrath. You know what that means? Most people who are lost, they think they're waiting for the wrath of God. They think one day their good works will be weighed against their bad works. And as long as their good works are all right, they'll never have to experience wrath. But if their bad works are out of sorts, then they're going to have to experience the wrath of God. But the Bible said, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son of God shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." When the Lord found me, can I tell you something? I was already under the wrath of God. I was already lost, and I was already in need of His salvation. It says right there, if you're sitting here lost this morning, you're a child of God's wrath. But I'll tell you another thing. It says you have no hope. Without hope in this world. Truth is, you think you've got hope. You think you'll go before God someday and you'll say, "Well, you know, I was a good church member and I gave to charity and, you know, I was a lot better than some of those Christians that I knew and I'm a pretty good person all around, so surely you're going to let me go to heaven." And yet the Lord will say, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire." You say, "Why?" Because you are already without hope if you don't have Jesus. I don't care what God you pick. If it ain't Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're already without hope. The Bible said, without hope and without God in the world. Do you get that? Not only are you hopeless, but you're godless. Now, that ain't more. Listen, that's not the doctrine of Morgan Lester. That's not something I came up with before I came to church this morning. That's straight from the Word of God, straight from that King James Bible I'm preaching up on that pulpit. Over there in Ephesians chapter 2, it said, if you're lost, you are without hope and without God in the world. You say, "Well, I've got a God. I've got Buddha. I've got Muhammad. I've got Allah. I mean, I got the Pope over there praying for me. I'm all right. I've got a God." Can I make one thing real clear to you? Without Jesus Christ, you've got a God of your own making. You have a God of your own mental fabrication. You have a God to soothe your ungodly conscience. And until you realize you're a sinner in need of salvation, until you come to Christ and ask Him to save you from your sin, until you believe on His name, I tell you, you're without hope and without God in the world. Can I tell you over there in Ephesians chapter 2, what I believe the absolute worst description of a lost man is? It's right in verse number 1. For over there in verse number 1, he said, dead in trespasses and in sins. Do you hear that? Dead in trespasses and in sins. You think you're waiting to die, but God said if you're lost, you're already as good as dead. Dead in trespasses and in sins. But I'm not trying to be mean to you, not trying to be ugly. I'm getting to something real good here in a moment. See, I told you a moment ago that the greatest gifts that you've ever gotten and the greatest gifts that I've ever received are ones that met the greatest need that you and I had. And I say to you this morning that to one who is a child of wrath, there is mercy to be had with the Lord, and it's a gift. Can I say to you this morning that to the hopeless, there is hope to be found in the Lord? Can I say to you that if you're godless without God in the world, there is a God, the true living God, and He died for your sins? I want to say to you this morning, if you're dead in trespasses and in sins, there is a life giver. The Bible said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but get this, have eternal life. I want to make one thing very clear to you this morning. There is a gift. There is a gift that takes care of the death problem. There's a gift that takes care of the hopelessness. There's a gift from God that'll take care of the ungodliness and the wickedness in your life. There's a gift that'll take care of that old conscience of yours. And that gift is none other than Jesus Christ Himself. I believe He's a great gift. I believe He's the right kind of gift this morning because He meets our greatest need. I read this quote this week. I'll read it and I'll move right along. But the quote I read says, if our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness. Our greatest need was redemption. Our greatest need was to be saved.
And so God sent us a Savior. And I say to you this morning, Jesus is the greatest gift I've ever been given. He's the greatest gift any man, woman, or child could ever receive, because Jesus meets the greatest need we've ever had. He's a gift of great value. He's a gift that meets the need. But I want to say one thing lastly, and that is that if you're going to pick the right kind of gift, it's got to be given freely. It's not a very good gift if it's not free. Now I understand to the giver, it's never free. But I'm saying if you're going to give it to somebody, there ought to be no strings attached. Amen. You say, preacher, I don't really understand. I don't get what you're saying. Let me try to illustrate it to you very quickly. Imagine Christmas morning next Sunday. You wake up, but your child wakes you up about 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning after you've spent time getting everything under the tree and putting cookies out and all that good stuff, if you were into that kind of thing. And they wake you up bright and early in the morning, and they take you in there to that tree. And there's all those gifts just waiting on them. And they start to tear into that first gift, start to rip that paper off. And about that time you say, whoa, hold up just a minute. You're going to need to pay me back for all that. What would the look on your child's face be? For one thing, they don't have the power to pay you back. They don't have a job. At least I don't think they do. Might need to get one, but they don't have one. But the other thing is, it ain't a gift if they have to pay you back. Amen. Some of y'all, you've been real kind to me. This church has been kind to me. Give my family a gift there. And I got a couple of cards. I'll just bear with you. I got a couple of cards this year. Had a little gift card in there. I'm real excited. I'm going to go down and eat me like a horse everywhere around town. I got gift cards now. I'm going to eat high on the hog, Brother Gary. I might do it all in one day. Just go around to all of them. But I tell you what, if you gave me one of those gift cards, would you put a little note in that card that said, by the way, next year I'm going to expect the same? Would that be a gift? See, a gift, the most important thing about a gift is not its value. It's not the need it meets. The most important thing, if it's going to be a gift, is it must be free. You can't attach any strings to it. You can't expect anything for giving it. You just have to give it freely. Now, can I say to you this morning, if that is the case, then the salvation we have in Jesus Christ, I believe, is proven beyond any shadow of a doubt to be the greatest gift in the history of mankind. I want to make one thing very clear. You can't work to earn it. If you did, it would not be a gift. You cannot pay for your salvation. If you did, it would not be a gift. You cannot earn your salvation. You can't work for your salvation. You can't do it. It wouldn't be a gift if you did. I'll give you one more illustration and I'll be done this morning. We have not done this. Let me just clarify. We didn't do that. We did not do this. But imagine we had a brand new, pretty red Lamborghini right out there in the parking lot with a bow around it. And it had your name on it. We said, hey, Ball Road Baptist Church, we're just trying to be so sweet and kind. We decided to give away a brand new sparkling nice red Lamborghini, about a $160,000 vehicle, right? Would anyone take that? You bunch of hypocrites. Liars, liars, every last one of you. I'd take that thing, but I would never let the insurance company know anything about it. I'd say that thing was a 1979 Volkswagen something. I don't know. No, I'm kidding with you. Imagine it had your name on it out there. But when you went out there, you said, well, not really the color I would have picked. And that's not my favorite model. So I think I'll pass. You'd be crazy, wouldn't you? Imagine if you went out there and you said, well, I know that cost about $160,000 and the church is now bankrupt, but I'd rather make one my own. I'd rather earn one, get it on my own, go pay for it myself. I think I'll pass. It wouldn't be a very good gift then, would it? It'd still be a gift. It'd still be freely given to you. But if you don't receive it, it doesn't amount to anything, does it? And yet that's what somebody in here, you've done to Jesus Christ. Maybe there's some soul in here. That's exactly what you've said to God. You've looked at Christ hanging up there bleeding and dying on the cross. You've seen the price that He paid for your sin. And you've looked at it and said, well, that's ugly. That doesn't make me feel very good. I mean, that's not my favorite. I think there's probably better ways out there to get to God. I think I'll take my own chances. Some of you, perhaps you've said to Him, I know He died and I know He suffered for me and I know the Bible said He paid the price for my sins, but I'd kind of like to earn it. I'd kind of like to pay for it myself. Some of you, you get out there and you hear this message that's preached to you and you say, well, I don't like that the preacher yells, so I ain't going to do anything. Well, I don't like something he said, so I ain't going to do anything. You're crazy. You are out of your mind. You say, why? Because if somebody gave me a gift that nice, I don't care how it gets delivered.
Amen.
Somebody want to give me a gift that nice, I don't care how it gets delivered. I don't care what color they put it in. Amen. I don't care what model they bought me. I don't care about trying to go down and earn it. I'm taking that gift.
Amen.
Can I say to you, back as a 14-year-old boy laying in my bed one Sunday night, I took the gift. God was holding out that gift to a young man by the name of Morgan Lester. And I had looked at it, and I'd kind of thought on it for a time or two, and I'd considered it a time or two, but thank God, there finally came a night where I took the gift. Some of you all, He's holding it out to you this morning. Jesus come by your way this morning. He's got the gift in His hand. He's got the gift waiting for you. It's right there. He's extending it to you. He's offering it to you. He's giving you every opportunity. He's wrapped it up real nice for you. But you hadn't taken it. You haven't received it. Can I say to you this morning, you'd be crazy not to take a gift like that. I tell you this morning, friend, if you're going to get you a good gift, you got to find something of great value. You got to find something that meets a great need. But you've got to have something that is given for free. If that be the standard, salvation is the greatest gift mankind has ever known. We're going to get ready to have a time of invitation here in just a moment. As they come this way and prepare to lead us in song, let me just say, if there's one here, I don't know who you are. I'm not going to browbeat you. I'm not going to yell at you. I'm not going to be mean to you. I just want to give you a gift. Can I make one thing very clear? I'm just the messenger. We have a guy that comes to our work 2 days a week, and he has a thing on his shirt that says FEDEX. FedEx, right? And he'll drop off a box with us. Now, he didn't purchase the things in that box. He did not pay for them to come there to us. So what did he do? He just comes and gives it to us. He offers it to us. We sign on the little dotted line, we take it and receive it. Can I make one thing clear? You're going to make salvation very, very difficult if you overthink it. If you sit there and you make every excuse in the world, you can make salvation something very difficult. The Bible makes it very, very simple. I'm just a messenger. I'm the Lord's FedEx man. And I come here this morning to offer you the gift. I'm here right now this morning to extend the gift. I didn't pay for it. I didn't earn it. And I, by the way, I don't own it. It ain't mine. I've got it. It's been delivered to me. But it ain't mine to dole out. It's the Lord's. I'm just here to give you the gift. Will you take it? That's all salvation is. Will you take God's free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ? If you'll receive Him this morning, the Bible said He'll save all those to the uttermost who come unto God by Him. Lord, I thank You for the opportunity to preach Your Word this morning. I pray now You'll bless during this time of invitation. Lord, work on people's heart. Lord, if they're making excuses, I pray You'd get over those excuses. You'd break right through them. And Lord, bring them down this morning, and may they receive the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. We ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Amen. As we sing this morning, if the Lord's dealt with your heart, why don't you come?